side. Okay. We're starting a new sermon series today. Woohoo! Today, I need to turn my little clicker on, and for the next 5 weeks, we are looking about how we talk about our faith, how we share our faith with others, how we evangelize. If you've been awake over the past few weeks, you will know that we've been talking about this because some of us went to the Mersey Synod Day looking at this a couple of weeks ago. It is our synod theme for the next 18 months. And since I'm on the team that put that together, I thought, right, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. You're going to get it too. Because it's important and because I believe that actually we're all meant to be sharing our faith with others. Who would agree with that? That is nearly 100%. Nearly 100%. Okay, who thinks that you've got that down pat, you're great at sharing your faith with others? Okay, less people than before. Who thinks we need more help? There we go. You see, good idea for a sermon series then. Good idea. So a couple of weeks ago, we all went, some of us went to Chester, and we started thinking about how can we be equipped and encouraged and released to share our faith naturally and authentically in the places that God puts us every day without looking like weirdos. Do you know any weird Christians? And you're all thinking, yeah, we're looking at one. I could read your faces. Thank you, church. Some of you are going, yeah, you. That's really not kind, is it? Not kind at all. Do you know, I could stay at home to be insulted. I don't have to come to work. So next week, Colin is going to share with us about how we can be prepared to speak about our faith naturally. And then we're going to think about what stops us doing that well. We're going to be asking, how did Jesus do it? Because he is our model in all things. So a good question, how did Jesus share his faith? What sort of things did he do? And then we're going to be looking at some good examples in Scripture of people who invited others to come and see. So that's the plan ahead, which I think sounds good because I'm excited about this. Last week, to start us off, last week Dan, when he was talking about youth and children's work and our vision as a church for youth and children's work, started us off by asking a really good question. He asked us who it was that was influential in your life as a child. And immediately, most of us were able to think of somebody who was influential in our life as a child. So the question I'd like to ask you today is this. Can you remember who first told you about Jesus? Turn to your neighbour and see if you can. Can you remember who first told you about Jesus? If you've not got a neighbour, squidge along the road perhaps, or turn round, or what have you. Who first told you about Jesus? Go. Can you remember who first told you about Jesus? Yes? So I'm going to come. Who first told you about Jesus?
Sunday school teacher.
Sunday school teacher, okay. Who first told you about Jesus?
Mrs. Whelan.
Sunday school teacher?
1956, she told me about Jesus. But Anna responded in 19... Oh, 73.
Who was she?
She was the mother of a friend of mine, and she gave me the booklet, The Cross and the Switchblade. I was in that state. She thought I needed it.
Okay. Okay. Keith, can you remember? Sorry, that sounded rude, didn't it? But you've all dissed me already, so.
I can't remember your name, but I can tell you. It was, I honestly don't know, but I went to Sunday school from 3 and 4. And I do remember, I was just saying, a chap called Cyril Harris, he later became a Church of England minister, but he worked for, I think it was a theatrical costumier, and one day he actually brought replicas of the crown jewels to Sunday school. And I can't remember why, but I can just remember that he brought those precious things to Sunday school.
Isn't that funny, but you can't remember the point?
No.
Like many a good sermon illustration, we remember the illustration, but we can't remember why we're meant to be remembering it. Anyone else want to tell me about who told them about Jesus? Rob?
Mrs. Fieldhouse.
Sunday school?
No. A scripture teacher.
Ah.
Yeah.
At school?
School. Yeah, and basically, I was just saying to Paul, I'd heard, been to church, I'd learnt the Lord's Prayer, learnt the Ten Commandments, but nobody told me about Jesus until Mrs. Fieldhouse opened the Bible and said, I remember we started studying the book of Luke, and I was 9 years old.
Well done, Mrs. Fieldhouse. Okay, so interestingly, most of those stories or when you were children or young people, which is exactly the point that Dan was making last week. So put your hand up if somebody first told you about Jesus when you were a child. Okay. When you were a young person? Whatever you class as a young person. Thank you. Anyone only heard about Jesus when they were an adult? Okay, right, yeah, interesting. Today, we're going to be asking ourselves the question, why bother with sharing our faith? You might have heard of the Talking Jesus Report, which is this, I'm going to show you it. Alpha and the Evangelical Alliance and Hope Together and some other Christian organisations got together last year and employed a polling organisation to randomly sample 4,000 or so people in the UK, asking them, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Christians? What do you think about the church? And what do you think about evangelism? And the answers were really interesting. Dan mentioned a couple of facts last week. So some of the people that they asked were not Christians, because it's a random sample. Some of the people that they asked were. And the answers about evangelism were very interesting. I've got some facts on the screen. It's quite small, but I'll explain. Practicing Christians report, those who were Christians and they were asked the question, that they agree. Practicing Christians report that they agree it's every Christian's responsibility to share their faith. In fact, 75% of the Christians who were asked believe that it is their responsibility to share their faith. Now, we can beat that. We had 100%. Now, maybe if you were asked not in church with me looking at you, you might have been a little more honest. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if you were rung up from a polling organisation, you might say something different. It also tells us that 77% of Christians feel confident to talk to their non-Christian friends about their faith. 77% are confident. That's a good statistic, isn't it? But it also says, I'm just zipping through these, you can come and look at it later on if you want, but it also says that 43% of practicing Christians say they don't know any non-Christians well enough to talk to them about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So there's obviously a disconnect between confidence and connection with the people that we want to talk to and invite. But the good news is this, and that's a better screen to look at. In the Talking Jesus report, it's this amazing statistic that 1 in 3 non-Christians, after a conversation with a Christian, want to know more about Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm incredibly encouraged by that. We often talk about, you know, nobody is interested in things of God. That's not true. People are interested in having conversations about Jesus with people they know and trust already. And that's you. You lovely lot. And that's the question we want to think about today, is why bother doing that? Why is faith, talking, witnessing, evangelism, however you call it, whatever you call it, why is that important? And what's our motivation for doing that? And I could talk about the people who are lost without Jesus. I believe that. I believe that without Jesus, we are lost. So that compels us to share our faith with them. I could talk about how I believe that Jesus is good news. I believe that. Do you believe that Jesus is good news? It's almost revival. Fantastic. It's a hot day and you're still saying amen. I believe that Jesus is good news. He's brought me peace and hope and new beginnings and a family. Could go on. Jesus is good news. I could talk about how Jesus is returning. Do we believe that Jesus is going to come again? Oh, it's getting louder. Amen. I believe that Jesus is coming again at the end of time. Matthew's gospel tells us, however, that the gospel needs to be preached first before Jesus comes again. I could talk about how at the end of Matthew's gospel, there is the Great Commission where we are given the task of making disciples. Not just being disciples, but actually making them too. I could talk about all of those things because all of those things are true. People are lost to sin and eternity without Jesus. Jesus changes our lives. He is returning. We're called to make disciples. All of that is true. But I want to talk about something even more simple as our motivation. If you have your Bible, can you open it or turn it on to 1 John 4? We're going to read verses 7 to 21. 1 John 4, 7 to 21. Oh, and here's a picture. Why bother with evangelism? It is a picture, for those who can't see, of a man shouting at a woman with a megaphone. That's not the aim, to shout. That's not the best model of evangelism. So our reading is 1 John 4, 7 to 21. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us his Spirit. And we've seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. And he's given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. It's all about love. Our motivation. God sends us his love shows us his love by sending Jesus to be the saviour of the world. It's a love mission. That love compels us to live lives of love for one another and for God. We love because he first loved us. We love God first. And the outpouring of that love for God bubbles out in our love for our brother and sister, our neighbours, our workmates, crumbs, even our workmates, our family. Surely that's our primary motive in why we want to share our faith, because we love people enough to do so. Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel. Words we've all heard lots before. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Of all the commandments that Jesus could have highlighted, he puts the spotlight on love. We're to love God first with an all-consuming love, with a passion. But we're to love others with the same level of concern that we have for ourselves. Whatever else God wants us to do, Jesus says it hangs on those two things, love for God and love for others. And I think that gives us our motivation in evangelism, because evangelism is about our love for God. Now, you may have been praying with your knotted bracelet. Remember, we've been praying for 5 friends to come to know Jesus. In thy kingdom come. You might have been praying with your knotted bracelet. If you came on the prayer day, you might have been put your friends' names down on a prayer flower. And I have been praying for 5 people to come to know Jesus. There is one of my friends that I am praying for who is getting increasingly connected to New Age stuff. She loves all things spiritual, but especially yoga and chanting and Buddhism and the like. And in some ways, that hurts my heart to see the spiritual shift in her life. And so I am praying for her. If we love God, then we don't sit by when other people's lives go off track, when they begin to worship other things other than God. That should bother us as Christians. We're not going to be judgmental about it, because we're not meant to be judgmental. But we are meant to care about people's eternity. And when people begin to worship other things than God, that makes me sad. That challenges me, because we are meant to be worshipping God more than anything else. Psalm 96 says, ascribe to the Lord all the glory due to his name. Out of our love for God, we pray for people to know him, so that they will then worship him too. So evangelism is about our love for God, but it's also, as we've already said, about our love for others. Jesus' command is for us to love others just as much as we love ourselves. Now, it's interesting. There's a sermon series in here again. Jesus assumes that we will love ourselves. Now, I don't often see that lived out well in our world, where people have such fragile self-images and broken stories. Jesus has always assumed that actually we will love ourselves because we are created children of God. Some people think it's selfish to love yourself. I mean, there's an arrogance to some people who love themselves. That's not what we're talking about here. I think what Jesus is saying is that we're to take the love and regard that we have for ourselves, at the best of ourselves, and to show that to others. If you want something good for yourself, then you seek that good for others too. So as I was thinking about, what does that look like? I wondered, what are you praying for yourself at the moment? And that's okay to pray for yourself. We're in a relationship. Are you praying for answers to a prayer, or for a breakthrough, or for a relationship gone wrong, or for healing, or for salvation, or for provision, or whatever? So remembering that command of Jesus, if we want something good for ourselves, we're to want it for others too. So if we're praying those prayers for ourselves, we're meant to be praying those prayers for others as well, for salvation for others, for answers for others, for healing, with the same level and intensity that we might pray for ourselves, we pray for others, to love others as we love ourselves. That's our motive, our beginning motive in evangelism. Is our love for God and our love for others. We're going to be unpacking what that looks like over the next few weeks. It's a very simple kind of two-point sermon today, that we are meant to be sharing our faith. We're meant to be talking faith. And we do that because we love and care for those that God has placed around us. And my prayer as we go through this sermon series is three C's that we will grow in conviction about the power of the gospel, about the good news of Jesus, and the change that can happen when Jesus appears in someone's life. Conviction, that we will grow in compassion for those who don't know Jesus yet. If we're not bothered about those who are lost to Jesus, I suggest you may need a heart attitude check. And confidence. I pray that God would grow our confidence in what he can do through us, and our confidence in what we're sharing with others. We need conviction, compassion, and confidence. That's my prayer for you all as we go through this. In a moment, Paul is going to come and share prayer for the world. But before he does this, let me share you, some of you have heard this before, my favourite evangelism quote. It doesn't come from Spurgeon. Do love a Spurgeon quote. It doesn't come from Timothy Keller. We do love a Tim Keller quote. It comes from this chap, St. Gary of Barlow. Not known for his Christian beliefs, but listen to this. This is a Gary Barlow song I am quoting from now. Before you all think I've gone mad, listen to these words. This is from one of his solo albums with a song called God. I'm sparing you the actual song because Simon will never forgive me if I play Gary Barlow in the church service. Let me read these words to you. Tell me, if you found God and he gave you hope, would you tell the world or save your soul? If you found God, would you take him home? Would you open the curtains or keep them closed? If you found God, would he be your secret? Convicted by that. And later on in the song, it says this. Can anyone really be that selfish? Can anyone really be that cruel to keep the King of heaven and earth just next to you? Good quote, isn't it? Even Simon, whose dislike of Gary Barlow is well known, is now nodding. Now, Gary is not a Christian. I wonder if Gary is the one in three people that wants to know more. That has spiritual searching all over it. I'll give a... Gary, can I talk to you about Jesus? Oh, dear. Gary says, go, talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our challenge before us. That is part of our calling. We love God and we love our neighbours. And so our calling is to share the good news with them. Who could be, who's one of your one in three that you could be talking faith with? Let's pray together. And as I pray, Paul is going to come up and pray for others too. Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord God, we do pray that you would give us a fresh conviction about the power of the gospel, about the good news of Jesus Christ, and how that changes us and others. Lord, would you give us a compassion for those who don't know you? Would you move our hearts and move our bums and open our lips and change our hearts? And would you help grow us in confidence? Confidence in who you are and what you can do, and grow our confidence in the message that we have to bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue in prayer as Paul leads us in our prayers for the world.